This week's Parsha is Parsha's Miketz, and it is also Shabbos Chanukah. Because of that, we are going to focus our shir on chapter 43, verse number 16. But we are going to give a very quick synopsis of the Parsha. Yosef interprets Paro's dream that there is going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. The 7 years of famine start, and in Canaan there is also a famine. Yaakov Avinu sends 10 of his children to Egypt to get food. When they get there, Yosef accuses them that they are spies. They say that we are 12 children, one is not here, and one is with our father in Canaan. Yosef arrests them, and then Yosef releases all of them but Shimon, and he says that the only way that Shimon is going to leave is if you bring Binyamin to prove that you have a brother in Canaan. Eventually, Yaakov agrees to send Binyamin, and they come and stand in front of Yosef. Then the verse number 16 says, Vayar Yosef itom es Binyamin. Yosef sees with them Binyamin. Vayomer la asher ha'baisoy. He tells to the person in charge of his house, Hove es vanoshim ha'baiso, bring this man to the house, utvoach tevach vochen, and slaughter an animal and prepare, kiti yoichlu ha'anoshim b'tzoraim, because with me these people are going to eat during lunch. The Shilta Giborim on the Mordechai in Masechta Shabbos in Perek Bei Madlikim Oschez brings that the words utvoach tevach vochen, that you slaughter an animal and prepare, that makes the words Chanukah, and also it is a remez, it's an allusion to the 36 candles that you light on Chanukah. And he explains that if you take the ches of the word tevach and then you put v'hochein, those letters make the word Chanukah, and also the numerical value of the remaining letters, which is utvoach tav, makes the numerical value of 36, because the vav is 6, the tet is 9, that's 15, the vase is 2, that's 17, and the ches is 8, that's 25, then another tes is 9, that's 34, and the vase is 2, is 36, which is the number of candles that you light on Chanukah, because 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 adds up to 36. So he explains that this verse alludes to Chanukah, meaning that Yosef's meal was alluding to having to make a meal in Chanukah, and the Sefer Binyan David brings down from Sefer Pnei Arya that since this meal alludes to Chanukah, therefore we always read this parsha during Chanukah, meaning that Parshas Miketz is always read during Chanukah, because in this parsha there is this allusion of the meal that Yosef made to his brothers, which was a meal of Chanukah. And the question that we have is, what is the connection between this meal that Yosef made and Chanukah? This question is asked by the Minchas Yitzchok in the Kuntres Divrei Chayfetz, and the Minchas Yitzchok in his first answer brings the Medrash Tanchuma in Nosoi Parsha Chofei, where there the Medrash says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, Shabbos Hoysa, the reason why Yosef made this meal was because it was Shabbos. How do I know it was Shabbos? Shenemar v'achin, because here it's written that Yosef prepared the meal, and then it's written in Parshas B'Shalach, in Parshas Amon, it's written in Shmos chapter 16, verse number 5, V'hoyo b'yom ha'shishi, it will be in the sixth day, V'ichinu, they should prepare for the Shabbat, meaning the man that fell on the sixth day was prepared, cooked for Shabbat, because in Shabbat there wasn't going to be any cooking and there wasn't going to be any man. So we see that the term V'hochein refers to preparing from one day to the other. So too here, when it's written that Yosef told them to prepare, it means to prepare from one day to the other, and it's not proper to prepare from one day to the other for kings, because kings like to eat fresh food every day. Therefore, we must say that the reason they prepared it is because they were preparing for Shabbat, meaning that you're preparing for the next day. The Midrash continues and says, Amar Le'Akadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem told Yosef, Ato Shomarto Zashabos Ad Sheloi Nitna. You kept Shabbos before the Shabbos was given. Chayecho, I swear to you, Shane Oise Sheben Bonecho, I'll make sure that one of your grandchildren, Ye Makrif B'Shabbos, will bring the offering on Shabbat. Meaning, when the tabernacle was inaugurated at the end of Parshas Nosoi, in chapter 7 of Bamidbar, we see that they rotated for the first 12 days, that a prince of every tribe brought the offerings for the day. And since the inauguration happened on a Sunday, that means that the seventh day was Shabbat. And we see that on chapter 7, verse number 48, it's written by Yom HaShvi on the seventh day, which was Shabbat. Nasi Livne Ephraim, the prince for the tribe of Ephraim, is Elishama ben Amihud. Since Ephraim is a descendant of Yosef, this was a payment for Yosef keeping Shabbat before it was given. Therefore, the only Korban Yachid, the only private offering that was ever brought on Shabbat, was from Yosef's descendants. As an aside, since according to the Midrash, this meal was done for Shabbos, and it's written Tvoach, Tevach, Vehochein, which means that there was two slaughterings and preparing, because the verse could have just as easy written down the Tvoach, the Hochein, and it slaughtered and prepared. But it says, Utvoach, Tevach, slaughter, as slaughtering and prepare. From there, the Taharas Yontev says that you're supposed to have two kinds of slaughtering, which means Basar Behema and Basar Of, a big animal and a bird, and also Vahochein and prepare, which means a fish, because since fish you don't slaughter, all you have to do with fish is to prepare. So from here he says that on Shabbos a person should have Basar Behema, Basar Of, Vedogim, a big animal, which is a cow or a goat, and birds, which is any kind of birds, and also you should have fish on Shabbat. But going back to the Minchas Yitzchak, the Minchas Yitzchak continues and says that there is another Medrash there on Parshas Nosoi, which is the Remes Choftes, which is the Medrash immediately past the Medrash that we just brought, which there the Medrash starts, Yilmedeinu Rabbeinu, Rabbis, please teach us, what happens if there is oil remaining on the first day of Hanukkah? Can you use the oil to light on the second day? The Medrash says, the Rabbis learned that any oil that remained from the first light of Hanukkah, you may add oil to it and use it on the second day. And so too, if it's left over on the second day, you may add to that oil and use it on the third day. And so too, and all the other days, but any oil that's left over after the eighth day, then you require to take the oils and burn it separately, because since it was designated for the mitzvah, Hukze lemitzvoisa became mukze for the mitzvah, you're not allowed to have benefit from it, therefore you have to burn it separately. The Medrash Tanhuma continues in another topic, and what he is going to bring now, it is going to be important to the Minchas Yitzchak's answer. The Medrash says, Lo yomer Adam, a person should not say, Eini mekayim mitzvah zekenim, that I am not going to do the rabbinic laws, meaning I'm not going to do the mitzvah of Hanukkah, hoil ve'enom min ha-Torah, since that mitzvah of Hanukkah, it's not a biblical law, it's only a rabbinic law, then you may say, why should I do the rabbinic laws? The Medrash continues, Hashem tells him, you're not allowed to do that, but whatever the rabbis decree on you, you should make. As it's written in chapter 17, verse number 10 of Devarim, Vosisu apia dovar, asha yagidu lecha, that you should do according to the thing that they will tell you. And verse number 11 is written, apia toiru asher yoyirucha, according to the law that they will teach you. Meaning if the rabbis teach you something, then you should do that. The Medrash says, how do I know that Hashem also agrees to do what the rabbis say? Because it's written in Iyuv chapter 22, the Sigzer Omer, Vayakam Loch, that he decrees and Hashem will make it. The Medrash continues and says that is what Iyuv says, that Iyuv hoped that Hashem will make what this was decreed by the rabbis down here. But how do I know that in fact Hashem actually makes what the rabbis decree? The Medrash brings a proof from what happened in the story of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, when he went to bless Manasseh and Ephraim, in Bereshis chapter 48, verse number 20, he gave them a blessing and says, Yesimcha Elokim, Hashem should make you keEfraim uKeManasseh, like Ephraim and like Manasseh. And the verse says, Vayasem is Ephraim lifnei Manasseh, that Yaakov Avinu put Ephraim in front of Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the oldest child. But nonetheless, when Yaakov Avinu gave the blessing, he put Ephraim in front of Manasseh. And we see that Hashem agreed with Yaakov Avinu, because when Hashem is telling who is going to bring the offerings every day for the inauguration, Hashem makes sure that Ephraim brings in front of Manasseh. Because on the verse number 48, it's written that in the seventh day, the prince of the tribe of Ephraim brought. And on verse number 54, it's written that on the eighth day, the prince of the tribe of Manasseh brought. So we see that Hashem also put Ephraim in front of Manasseh, because Yaakov Avinu decreed that Ephraim should be in front of Manasseh. Therefore Hashem agreed and put Ephraim in front of Manasseh. So we see that Hashem follows what the rabbis decree. The rabbi in this situation is Yaakov Avinu. So too, when the rabbis decree that you should make a mitzvah or make a holiday of Hanukkah, a person should not say that I don't do rabbinical decrees, I only make biblical decrees, because even Hashem follows rabbinic decrees. According to this, the Michal Zikach explains that the whole idea of Hanukkah comes from the fact that Yosef prepared the food for Shabbat, meaning that the fact that Yosef prepared the food for Shabbat, that means that we saw that Yosef kept Shabbat before it was given. Hashem wanted to give Yosef a reward that one of his sons is going to bring the offering on Shabbat, on the seventh day. And that reward came to Ephraim. Theoretically, that reward should have come to Manasseh. Since Manasseh is the Bechor, the firstborn of Yosef, he should get the reward to bring that offering on Shabbat. But since Hashem follows what the rabbis say, meaning what Yaakov Avinu decreed, and Yaakov Avinu put Ephraim in front of Manasseh, therefore Hashem made that Ephraim should be the one to get the reward for Yosef keeping Shabbat, and not Manasseh. And therefore Ephraim is first there, and afterwards Manasseh. From there we see that you're required to keep what the rabbis say. And from there we see also that since the rabbis decreed the mitzvah of Hanukkah, you're required to keep the mitzvah of Hanukkah. So by the fact that Yosef kept Shabbos, that came out that from here we're going to learn that Hashem keeps what the rabbis decree. Therefore, we should keep what the rabbis decree in regards to the mitzvah of Hanukkah. So according to the Michal Zikach, that is the connection between the idea of Yosef making this meal and Hanukkah. Because from this meal, we learn that you're supposed to follow what the rabbis say, and that is also alluding to the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Sefer Hamudei Tzvi gives a different answer to this question, and his answer is based on the Baal Halachas Gedolos, that he counts the mitzvah of Hanukkah as one of the Taryag mitzvahs, and he wants to know where is the source on that this should be one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah. And he brings the Medrash in Parshas Baloyischo, Parshat Tezvav, and Rashi brings it in the same way, but we are going to expand and bring what is written in the Medrash. And the Medrash is bothered by Rashi's question, what is the juxtaposition between lighting of the menorah to the inauguration of the tabernacle? Meaning that clearly, before we even inaugurated the tabernacle, we had to light the candles of the menorah. Then why does the Torah bring the idea of lighting the menorah right after the inauguration of the tabernacle? Therefore, the Medrash says that when Aharon saw that 11 tribes brought inauguration offerings, even though there was 12 days of inauguration, nonetheless, since Menashe and Ephraim brought in separate days, only 11 tribes were brought. The only one that did not bring is from the tribe of Levi. And Aharon is the prince of the tribe of Levi, as we see in Parshas Korach in chapter 17, verse number 18, where all the tribes brought staffs and they wrote their name on the staffs. And there it's written, V'shem Aharon tichtoiv al mata Levi, and the name of Aharon should write on the staff that represents the tribe of Levi. So we see that Aharon is the prince of Levi, and Aharon was upset because Aharon saw that every tribe brought offerings in the inauguration of the tabernacle, and yet the tribe of Levi did not bring any offerings. Then Aharon thought, maybe because of my sin, meaning because I did the golden calf, therefore Hashem does not want the tribe of Levi to bring any offering. Hashem answered Aharon that you should not feel bad, because of what you do, it's going to be greater than what they do. The Midrash continues and says, HaKorbanos, the offerings, Kozman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayom Heim Nohagim, while the Beis HaMikdash is standing, they apply, meaning that you could only bring offerings while there is a Beis HaMikdash. Avol HaNeirois, but the candles, LeOilam El Mul HaPneya Menorah Yairu, they are always going to burn in front of the menorah, meaning that the offerings only apply when there is Beis HaMikdash, but lighting of the menorah applies forever. The Ramban asks, what does it mean that the lighting of the menorah applies forever? Clearly, if there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is also no menorah. Then the menorah is also going to be discontinued. How can Hashem say that the menorah is going to be forever? Therefore, the Ramban says that Hashem is referring for a different menorah. Hashem is referring for the candles of Hanukkah that we put on the menorah, which miracle was done through the Kohanim Hashmonaim, which are descendants of Aharon, and the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles is forever. But the idea of bringing offerings only applies when there is a Beis HaMikdash, and it does not apply after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Sefer Hamud Tzvi says that we could use this Ramban as a source of the Baal Lochos Gadoilos to hold that the mitzvah of lighting the candles of the menorah in Hanukkah is a biblical mitzvah. Sefer Hamud Tzvi continues and says that this idea that we say that the mitzvah of Hanukkah is biblical in nature only works if in fact Aharon did not sin by the sin of the golden calf. But if I say that Aharon sinned the sin of the golden calf, then we could say that the reason why the tribe of Levite was not represented in the inauguration of the tabernacle is in fact because Aharon was their nasi, their prince, and since Aharon sinned at the sin of the golden calf, therefore Hashem didn't want them to bring an offering in the inauguration of the tabernacle. Meaning that if Aharon didn't do anything wrong by the sin of the golden calf, then we have to understand why the tribe of Levite did not bring the inauguration. Then we have to say that the reason is because they lighting the candles, and the candles will endure forever. And this refers to the menorah that we light in Hanukkah. Then we have a source for the Hanukkah candles being biblical. But if Aharon actually sinned, then the reason why the tribe of Levi did not bring is because Aharon sinned. Therefore, Sefer Hamud Tzvi is trying to figure out how is it possible that Aharon did not sin at the sin of the golden calf. Therefore, he brings first what is written in Shabbos Daf Peches Omed Alef 88a, where the Talmud brings the pasuk in Shmos chapter 19, verse number 17, where there is written Vayisyatzu betachtis or, when the Jewish people were about to receive the Ten Commandments, it's written that the Jewish people sat underneath the mountain, and there the Gemara says, Omar Avdime Bar Chama Bar Chasa, Belamed, from here we learn, Shekof HaKodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem Har Kegigis, that Hashem put the mountain over our head as a big vat, and he said that if we receive the Torah, fine, if not, then there is going to be our burial ground. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabacha Bar Yaakov, Rabacha Bar Yaakov says, Mikan Moidor Rabbe Lo Raise, from here we have a good excuse when somebody does something wrong, that he could argue that since he didn't accept the Torah willingly, he was forced to do it, therefore he is not responsible for the crime. Meaning, yes, he did something wrong, but you can't be punished because he never accepted the responsibility to do it willingly. We only accept it after we were threatened with death. The Gemara continues that Omar Rava, Rava says, Afapikan, even though originally we had an excuse if we made mistakes and we sinned, but eventually we lost that excuse because Hador Kablu b'mei Achashverosh. We accepted the Torah anew willingly in the time of Achashverosh, because there is written, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. After we saw Hashem's miracle, how Hashem loved us, then we accepted the Torah willingly. And therefore, after the time of Achashverosh, after the story of Purim, we are required to do the mitzvahs, and if we don't do it, we are punished. Up to the time of Achashverosh, we could have the excuse that we accepted the Torah under duress, but then, at the time of Achashverosh, we accepted the Torah willingly, we lost that excuse. Comes out according to this, that up to the time of Achashverosh, we have an excuse when we sin. Therefore, says Sefer Chamud Etzvi, that since the golden calf was done way before Achashverosh, was done still while we were in the desert, therefore we have an excuse that we did not transgress the Torah because the Torah was forced upon us. Then Sefer Chamud Etzvi asks that theoretically this is not an excuse, because even if we had not accepted the Torah, nonetheless we know that idolatry is one of the seven Noahide laws. Then even if we did not accept the Torah, we are still guilty of committing idolatry. Therefore, Sefer Chamud Etzvi brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tav Samach Gimel Bet Aleph 63a, where the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ilemole Vav Shebehelicho, if not for the Vav that's written in the word Helucha, meaning that in Shmos chapter 32, verse number 8, where it describes the sin of the golden calf, says that they bow down and they said, this is your God Israel that brought you up, but the word brought you up is in the plural, meaning that they believed not only Hashem brought them up, but they paired Hashem if another entity. Therefore, according to this, there wasn't idolatry outright, meaning they believed that Hashem brought them out, but they believed that Hashem had somebody else helping. That means that there was shituf, there was a partnership between Hashem and a different deity or a different entity. And since a Ben Noach, a Noahite, is not guilty on shituf, then theoretically the Jewish people did not sin according to Noahide law in the golden calf. They only sinned because of Torah law. And in regards to Torah law, the Jewish people have now excuse that they are not guilty since they were forced to accept the Torah. Then according to this, Sefer Chamud Etzvi wants to say that since the sin of the golden calf was before we accepted the Torah willingly by Achashverosh, and theoretically we were forced to accept the Torah, then comes out that there was no sin in the golden calf. And if there is no sin in the golden calf, then we have to say that the reason why Aharon was not part of the inauguration of the tabernacle is because Aharon is destined to make a bigger contribution, that since the children of Aharon are going to institute the mitzvah of menorah, and the lighting of the menorah is going to endure for all generations, therefore have a biblical source for the mitzvah of Chanukah. Sefer Chamud Etzvi asks that theoretically the argument that we have an excuse that we don't have to maintain the Torah because we accepted the Torah under duress is not an argument, because the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Mem Zayin Omed Beis 47b, brings in the name of Rav Huna that Taluyu Vezovin, if somebody hangs somebody and forces him to sell something, still Zvina Zvina, still the sale is valid, because we say that Gav Onsa Vezuza, that because he was forced and he received compensation for it, Gomar Umakna, he had in his mind that he's going to sell. Meaning if somebody is forced to sell something and he receives money for it, then we say that because of the money, even though he was forced, he is willing to sell it. And theoretically, this is what happened when the Jewish people received the Torah. Because since it's written in Tehillim chapter 105, verse number 44 and 45, there it says, Va'itan lohem arzas goyim, that Hashem gave them the lands of the people. Va'amal lohem yiroshu, and they inherited the toil of the nations, meaning that we received their Israel. Why? Bavur yishmeru chukav, so they may safeguard his statutes. Ve'soroys of intoiru, and observe his teachings, meaning that the reason why Hashem gave us the land of Israel is because we accepted the Torah. Then comes out that when Hashem forced us to accept the Torah, it was talu v'zavin, it was as Hashem would have hung us, would have forced us and paid a price for it, which the price is Eretz Yisrael, which then we say that the deal is valid. Then what excuse do we have that we only received the Torah under duress, since we accepted compensation for receiving the Torah, we accepted the land of Israel for receiving the Torah, then it's tantamount as somebody would force us and pay for it, which in that case, it is considered a valid sale. Then theoretically, we should be obligated to do the Torah, then we don't have an excuse for doing the golden calf, then theoretically, the golden calf is a sin. Therefore, Sefer Hamud Tzvi explains that this whole idea, if we sinned in the golden calf or not, will hinge on the machloikas, will depend on the argument brought in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yutet 119, if we say that Eretz Yisrael muhzekes me'avoyseinu me'avram avinu oiloi, that if we say that Eretz Yisrael is already acquired by Avram Avinu and we inherit from Avram Avinu, or we say that we only received Eretz Yisrael after the 40 years of the desert. Because if we hold that we received Eretz Yisrael from our forefathers Avram, then comes out that Eretz Yisrael was already ours when we were in Egypt, meaning that Eretz Yisrael belonged to us, we inherited from Avram Avinu, all we needed is to go get it. That means that in fact Hashem did not give us anything in compensation for receiving the Torah, because since Eretz Yisrael was already ours, we did not receive anything in return for accepting Eretz Yisrael. Then it's tantamount as talu v'yahiv, as somebody would hang somebody and he would give him a gift, which then we say that the gift is not valid, meaning that if somebody is forced to give a gift, then theoretically, since he did not receive any compensation, the gift is not valid. And here too, since we did not receive any compensation for receiving Eretz Yisrael, then whatever we accepted the Torah, it is not considered an acceptance, it's considered under duress until the time of Ahasuerus, who we accepted willingly, then we did not sin in the golden calf. But if we say that Eretz Yisrael was not given to Avram Avinu, was only given after the 40 years of the desert, that means that we received it because we accepted the Torah, and since once we are forced and receive some compensation for it, then the forcing is valid, the deal you make is valid, then theoretically we are guilty for transgressing at the golden calf. Sefer Hamud Tzvi continues and says that this whole idea that we receive the Torah from Avram Avinu will only work if I hold that before the Torah was given, Avram Avinu had the law of a Israel, of a Jew. But if I hold that before the Torah was given, Avraham Avinu had the law of a non-Jew, then this idea won't work. And he explains in the following way. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Med Aleph 100a, is discussing how a person acquires land. The Gemara there says that according to the opinion of Rabbi Elezer, if a person walked the width and the length of a property, then the person acquires the place that he walked. And it's not necessary to have a bill of sale as an act of acquisition. The walking by itself is considered an act of acquisition. And the Gemara brings that Rabbi Elazar explains what is the reason of Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara says that since it's written on Bereshis chapter 13, verse number 17, that Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Kum hisalach baretz, arise, walk about the land, le'arko in the land, le'rachbo in the weave, ki lecho et neno, because I will give you the land. So the Gemara implies, how is Hashem going to give the land to Avraham Avinu? By him walking. That means that by him walking, he makes an act of acquisition, and the land become his. So we see that walking the land makes it the land of Avraham Avinu's. But, says Sefer Chamuda Tzvi, this fact that if a person walks the land, he acquires it, that is only when it is a Jew walking the land, then a Jew acquires it. But if it's a non-Jew walking the land, then a non-Jew does not acquire it, as the Gemara brings down in Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis 35b, that a non-Jew only acquires the property via a document, via a shtar, via a bill of sale or a bill of gift, but he has to have a document to transfer the property to him. According to this comes out the following. If I hold that Avraham Avinu was a non-Jew, that means that Avraham Avinu never acquired Eretz Yisrael, because we never see that Hashem gave a document to Avraham Avinu transferring Eretz Yisrael to him. That means that Eretz Yisrael was only acquired later on, after the Jewish people received the Torah. That means that when the Jewish people were forced to receive the Torah, they received compensation for being forced, which was Eretz Yisrael. And we have a rule, Talu Vezavin, if somebody is forced to sell under duress, the sale is valid. That means that the Jewish people, even though were under duress, in fact accepted the Torah, and it's a valid acceptance. Therefore, when we did the golden calf, we sinned, and therefore we could say that this is the reason why the tribe of Levite did not do any offerings in inauguration, because Aharon sinned, and in fact Aharon was guilty. And the fact that it's written the parshas of Menorah next to it has nothing to do with the idea that Aharon is going to get greater than the tribes. Hashem didn't want Aharon to bring any offerings in the tabernacle representing his tribe, and Hashem instead told Aharon that you should light the menorah. But if I hold that Avraham Avinu was a Jew, then Avraham Avinu walked Eretz Yisrael, and by walking Eretz Yisrael, he acquired Eretz Yisrael. That means that Eretz Yisrael was already ours before we received the Torah. That means that when Hashem forced us to receive the Torah, Hashem did not give us any compensation for being forced, because we already had Eretz Yisrael before Hashem forced us to receive the Torah. That means Hashem forced us without compensation. When somebody is forced without compensation, then the deal is void. Therefore, when we did the golden calf, we did not sin, because we are forced under duress to accept the Torah, and that wasn't a valid acceptance. Therefore, since we did not sin, then there is no reason for Aharon not bringing offerings in the inauguration of the tabernacle. Then we must say that the reason why Aharon did not bring offerings at the inauguration of the temple is because Hashem wanted to give Aharon a greater gift. As the Medrash says, that what Aharon is going to bring is going to be greater than the Nesim. And what is greater than the Nesim? That Aharon's doing is going to last even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And as the Ramban says, that means that Hashem is telling Aharon HaKohen that he's going to give him the mitzvah of lighting candles in Chanukah. Like that, that lighting of the menorah is going to last even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. According to this, Sefer Chamuda Tzvi says that we mentioned previously that from the words Utvoach, Tevach, Vehochein, you should slaughter and prepare, the Medrash Rabbah and also the Medrash Tanchuma say that the word Vehochein only applies when you're preparing from one day to the other, and since it's not proper for a king not to have fresh food, that means that Yosef was preparing for Shabbos, as it's written in Parshas Amon, it'll be in the sixth day, Veichinu, and they'll prepare. That means that Yosef kept Shabbos. And we mentioned that Hashem said to Yosef that since you kept Shabbos before you were commanded, then as a reward, your grandchildren are going to be the only ones to bring a private offering on Shabbos. As it's written, that on the seventh day, the prince of the tribe of Ephraim, brought his offering. That means that Hashem agrees with Yosef that it was proper for him to keep Shabbos, because otherwise, why would Hashem give Yosef a reward? If it's improper for Yosef to keep Shabbos, clearly Hashem would not give Yosef a tzaddik a reward. And in regards to Shabbos, we know that only a Jew is allowed to keep Shabbos, but a non-Jew, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches Omed Beis 58b, writes down in the name of Rish Lakish, that Ben Noach, a non-Jew, Sheshavas, that kept Shabbos, Chayev Misa, is liable for death. Because the verse writes down in Bereshit chapter 8, verse number 22, Yoim Volaylo, day and night, Lo Yishboisu, they should not rest. V'omar Mar, and we have a rule, that Azara Shalohem, whenever there is a warning, there is a liability for death. That means that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Therefore, if a non-Jew would not be allowed to keep Shabbos, Hashem would not give a reward to Yosef if Yosef was considered a non-Jew. That means that Yosef, by preparing the food for his brothers on Friday for Shabbos, ruled that the Jewish people, before the Torah was given, had the law of a Jew. And if the Jewish people, before the Torah was given, have the law of a Jew, that means that Avraham Avinu, by walking Eretz Yisrael, acquired Eretz Yisrael, because since he's a Jew, that is a proper way to acquire Eretz Yisrael. And if Avraham Avinu acquired the land for walking, that means that when the Jewish people were forced, the Jewish people had the right to Eretz Yisrael, because they are inheritors of Avraham Avinu. That means that Eretz Yisrael was technically theirs even before the Torah was given. Therefore, when Hashem put the mountain over our head and forced us to accept the Torah, Hashem did not give us any compensation in return of us accepting the Torah. It is tantamount of somebody being forced and give a gift, where then the gift is not valid. Therefore, our acceptance of the Torah was done under duress. Therefore, if it's done under duress, it is not binding. Then when we sin afterwards, we are not liable for those sins, because our acceptance of the Torah was under duress. That means that when Aharon did the golden calf, it was not a sin. And if it was not a sin, then there is no reason why Aharon should not take part together with the other tribes in the inauguration of the tabernacle by bringing offerings. Therefore, we must say that Hashem wanted to give Aharon a greater reward, as the Medrash Rabba explains, that Hashem told Aharon that yours is greater than theirs, because theirs only applies when there is a Beis HaMikdash. The offerings only apply when there is a Beis HaMikdash, where yours, lighting of the menorah, applies forever. And then we have the question of the Ramban, what do you mean that the lighting of the menorah applies forever, since the menorah clearly is part of the Beis HaMikdash? When there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no menorah. Therefore, the Ramban says that what Hashem told Aharon is in regards to the menorah that's going to be brought by the Hashminoim, instituted that every Jewish home should light it once a year, that this is coming in the merit of Aharon, and this will last forever, even nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, comes out that the mitzvah of Hanukkah is written in the Torah. So according to this, Sefer Hamud Tzvi explains that we see clearly that only because Yosef HaTzadik wrote Utvoch Tevach V'Hochin, that he prepared for Shabbat, and since he prepared for Shabbat, he ruled that he's a Jew, even before the Torah was given. And since he's a Jew, that means that Avraham Avinu acquired Eretz Yisrael. And if Avraham Avinu acquired Eretz Yisrael, that means that Eretz Yisrael is ours before the Torah was given. And if we have Eretz Yisrael, that means that when we were under duress, we did not receive compensation. That means that our acceptance of the Torah was not binding. And since our acceptance of the Torah was not binding, then Aharon did not sin in the golden calf. Then Aharon should have brought offerings, but he didn't, because Hashem wanted to give him a greater reward, the reward of Hanukkah. Therefore, specifically on the words of Tvoach Tevach V'Ochein, is alluded to the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Because only because Yosef ruled that we are a Jews before the Torah was given, by keeping Shabbos, that is how the mitzvah of Hanukkah comes to be alluded in the Torah. I wanted to add that according to the Shalosh Yeshivas Chasam Sofer, Yoredeya, Simen Reish Lamed Gimel, where there he says that the days of Purim, the days of Chanukah, is also Deoraisa, also biblical in source, and he uses the Kal Vachomer that is written on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalet Amad Aleph 14a, in order to give this idea that it is biblical in source. Meaning that we have 13 precepts that we could learn the Torah from, and one of the precepts is Kal Vachomer, which means a clear deduction, meaning if something weak is like that, then something stronger should also be like that. And therefore, we learn from a Kal Vachomer that you require to celebrate the holidays of Purim and Hanukkah. Therefore, he says that according to his opinion, the holidays of Purim and Hanukkah are biblical because they are sourced by a Kal Vachomer from Allah in the Torah. And the Kal Vachomer is what is written in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalet Omed Aleph 14a, where there the Gemara is wondering why did the prophets agree to add the Kriyas HaMegillah, the reading of the Megillah, since it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, "My Darush, what did the prophets interpret that caused them to say that we have obligation to read the Megillah?" Omar Rab Chiya Baravin, Omar Rab Yeshua Ben Karcha. Rab Chiya Baravin says in the name of Shem Karcha, "Ma'am Avdus Lecherus Amrino Shira, if when we were saved from slavery to freedom, we are required to praise Hashem, that Memisa Lechaim, if we are saved from death to life, Loi Kolshken, for sure we should be required to praise Hashem." Meaning, the Gemara there is discussing the idea of Purim, since in Purim, Haman wanted to kill us, and we were saved by Hashem, then clearly if we were saved from killing to being alive, we require to praise Hashem. Because if when we are alive, but we are enslaved, we become free, we are required to praise Hashem, then it's a clear deduction that when you were destined to die and you were saved by Hashem, that you are required to praise Hashem. Therefore, the rabbis established the reading of the Megillah as praising Hashem, and therefore it's a holiday. The Chasofer's language is the following. The Kviyas Yoimoyet, making a holiday, B'yoim Asiyas Nes, in the day that the miracle was done for you, Hu Kal Vachomer Doraisa, that comes directly from a Kal Vachomer, Ulefi Ani Yazdati, according to my opinion, Lefizeh Yoim Purim Vimei Chanukah Doraisa Hem. Purim and Chanukah are biblical days that we require to show praise to Hashem, and he goes into more details how we do that. Sefer Chemdas Tzvi has an argument on this idea of the Chasam Sofer, and he says that how can you compare Purim to Chanukah? Purim, in fact, was Mimisa Lechaim, was from death to life. Haman decreed that he's going to kill us, and Hashem saved us from Haman. So then the Kal Vachomer from Egypt works, because if we were saved from slavery to freedom, we are required to praise Hashem for sure from death to life. But in the case of the Yevanim, of the Greeks, they never decreed that they are going to kill us. All they wanted is to corrupt us. Then who is to say that the Kal Vachomer will work in that case? It is not such a clear deduction that if you were saved from corruption, we are required to praise Hashem. Then why does the Chasam Sofer say that Chanukah is also biblical? But in truth, this question is already addressed by the Tirzov in Orach Chaim Siman Tov Reish Ayin Sif Katan Gimel, where there he says that since Rashi writes down in Parshas Kiseitze, Dvorim, chapter 23, verse number 9, that Godol Amachtias Adam Yoyser Mehargoy, that if somebody causes a person to sin, it's worse then he would have killed them. And Rashi explains the logic that when you kill somebody, you remove him from this world, but he still has the world to come. But when you cause somebody to sin, then you're removing him from this world and from the world to come, meaning that causing somebody to sin is much worse than killing. Then according to this, the Kal Vachomer is even stronger, meaning that if when Hashem saved us from slavery to freedom, we require to praise Hashem, then for sure, if Hashem saved us from death to becoming alive, we require to praise Hashem. And if saving somebody from death to being alive, you require to praise Hashem, then for sure, when you save somebody from sinning, which is much worse than dying, then you require to praise Hashem. Then, quite opposite, in regards to Hanukkah, the Kal V'Chomer is even stronger than in regards to Purim. Therefore, the Kal V'Chomer works, and therefore the Chasam Sofer says that celebrating the holiday of Hanukkah is Doraisa, is in a biblical level. And Hashem Yisburach should help that as we light the light of the menorah, we should merit to have the real menorah relit by meriting the coming of Mashiach, the Beis HaMikdash, completely rebuilt.